No, he didn't say be seated. We were going to stand during the sermon. Oh, man. It is beyond good to see you this morning, to know that there are people worshiping God together here and all over the world. Amen? Amen. I love it. Let's pray together before we start this morning. Father, you are incredible, incredible, incredible. We come to you this morning broken. We come to you this morning in need of healing. We come to you this morning in need of your mercies and miracles in our lives. Father, may the words that are spoken be the words from the Spirit. May they penetrate deep, deep into the soul of the worshiper. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What is a miracle? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, the Cowboys making it to the second round of the playoffs, which would be a miracle, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. What is a miracle? You see, miracles in the Bible were meant to change the way that we see things. They were meant to change the way that we saw God and that we see God. They weren't just really cool things, because there is some super, super cool, and the miracle today we're going to talk about is one of those super, super cool miracles. I mean, there's something that is beyond human ability. It's a supernatural, if we could say, if that's the right word to even say it. I mean, it's not a miracle that this microphone worked this morning. We're grateful it did, and sometimes it hasn't been so good to us, but that's not a miracle. A miracle comes by the act of the Almighty. So as Doug and I begin to talk about and begin to share what the Spirit has laid on our hearts when it comes to the idea of a miracle, it's much more than that. It's an act of God, an act meant to change our viewpoint. John would tell those who received his letters this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, in the book that he wrote, in the letter that he wrote. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So a miracle was not just something so we can say, but sit back and say, whoa, isn't Jesus really cool? Isn't God really awesome? Look what he did. A miracle is meant to change our viewpoint. It's meant to be there so that we can see and believe in him. And I know we've grown up with all of these stories, with all of these miracles, all of our lives, many of us. But it's not just about a story. Jesus is beginning to make a name for himself in his ministry. This is not just a vacation Bible school story, but this is a real thing that is happening. Jesus begins to follow, and John would be thrown into jail, and Jesus would preach the good news. What is the good news? Jesus is preaching the good news. Very interesting thought that we won't take time this morning, but he's preaching that to be on God's side is the right side. To follow and to be a follower and a disciple of the Almighty. He begins to preach, and he begins to heal, and he even heals Peter's mother-in-law. We think Peter's okay with that. We're not told in the Scriptures, but he even heals her, and he takes this demon, and Doug, that was for you, and he takes this demon, he casts out this demon, and everybody's beginning to converge on Jesus. So much so that he has to go out into the lonely places. He has to go out because he can't do what he wants to do. But like Jesus, he goes back into the city. And so there's this house, and this house that comes up on the screen. It might have looked like this one. I don't know if he's mowing the lawn or if he's got one of those rollers with water in it, and he's batting down the thatch there. But this is kind of what a house would look at like in the time of Jesus here in the book of Mark chapter 2. And so he begins to be in this house, and there's lots of people gathered around him in this house, and you're fixing to see an amazing thing that happens. So let's read what the Spirit has to say. Starting in chapter 2, in our Bibles, in chapter 2, and if you don't have a Bible this morning, just listen faithfully to the story. I'll read it faithfully. It says, a few days later, this is after Jesus has been here and there and kind of gone out to the quieter places. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came in, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat he was lying on. Quite a scene it had to be. Now, you saw the staircase up the side of the house. I've always wondered, you know, do they get the ladder out and put the ladder up and they climb the ladder and how they get up with this poor guy, and they might have probably maybe dropped him and all that sorts of stuff, but they didn't have to do that. Most houses probably had a little staircase up the side as that one did. But these guys are so intent on getting this guy to Jesus. Why? Because they know he can help. They know that he's got a condition that Jesus can help. It's going to play into the story here in just a second. When Jesus saw, okay, so they lowered him down through the roof. That's where we're at in our story. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is what those teachers of law are thinking. That's not in the Greek. Some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, we know these stories, a lot of us. Or you might just come to this new, but you can kind of follow the story. But you understand, they've waited for this Messiah. They've waited for the one to come. They've been waiting for a long time. Remember the 400 years, the silent years in between the Old and the New Testament? I mean, it's just one page in our Bible, but it's 400 years. They've been waiting for this Messiah. And here this guy comes and says, your sins are forgiven. What is he talking about? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their heart. Not in your outline. This is for free. You can't hide from Jesus. All right? You can't. You can't hide what you're thinking from God. I can hide my thinking from Mike. Tammy, I can hide something from you, sister. But you can't hide from God. God knows what we're thinking. That's both good and both scary. But I think it's nice in those moments. My cousin this week, my uncle was in the hospital for like the sixth time in the last month or so. And his blood pressure was down to 69 over 30, not doing well. She said, I don't know how to pray. And I said, Christy, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He knows our hearts, knows what's in our hearts, knows how to pray. God knows everything. When you're broken, when you're living in sin, when you don't know how to face tomorrow, Jesus already knows. Which is easier? Where he said, why are you thinking these things? Oh, that had to shock him. Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But since we're here, since everybody showed up, since there's a hole in the roof, since there's a paralyzed man lowered in front of me, since you're thinking these things, I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. He said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Wow. I think I would have liked to have been there. It might have scared me. I might not have known what to think. But wow. He forgave this man's sin. And not only that, I can kind of believe that. That's what they're starting to think. I kind of believe this guy's God. I kind of believe who he is. I mean, the passage said this amazed everyone. Well, those teachers of law hadn't walked out of there. Quite possibly some converts were made that day. Not only did he forgive his sins, but this guy that was paralyzed didn't need his four friends to walk him out. Which leads us to think and to talk about. Faith moves mountains. And it moves God. Picture the scene. The crowds around him. He's teaching. Some are listening. Some are sitting there scrutinizing everything he has to say. The guy began to be lowered into the ceiling and in through the roof of the house. And Jesus is not distracted by what's going on. Had to be crazy. Had to be hectic. I mean, all this digging and the thatch falling in and everybody's got dirt on them and everyone's got the straw on them. Had to be distracting. But nothing moves Jesus. There's another freebie for you. Nothing moves Jesus. Because he looks and he says, he saw whose faith? This paralyzed guy, right? The guy that was on the stretcher that had faith to let his friends lower him down. It would take a lot of faith. Doug, I don't know how, there's some people here we would trust to lower us down. Not a lot, maybe. That would take an awful lot. Like, you guys go, okay, now you guys go, I'm leaning this way, hurry up. I mean, it would take some faith. But he doesn't look at his faith. Maybe he's included in it. But the scripture says that Jesus saw whose faith? Their faith. And he says, your sins are forgiven. John would talk about, in the latter part of 1 John, about praying for someone whose sin does not lead to death, and they will have life through your prayer. I think it's important to us to see in a miracle that God looks at people around the people that are actually involved in the miracle. He looks at these guys' faith and says, because of your faith, because of who you are, I will give this guy life. I think a lot of times we think Christianity is being about us. I think we think about, well, I got something out of that. Man, Doug preached a sermon and it just blew me out of the water. And I think we kind of centralize our faith around us. But God does not do that. And God begins to show us through this miracle that his life-giving is through the faith and the belief of others that other people had. It had nothing to do with this guy's ability to be healed, but it had to do with their faith. One of the other things that I see in this and all through Scripture, the power of the words of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, before this chapter, in verse 14, it says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went out to Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. Come follow me, he said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets. You see the power of his words? I mean, he didn't even have to convince them. Didn't even have to have a sermon, 3-point sermon with a good poem, Mike. It didn't even have to have it. He just said it, and they followed. When he had gone a little bit further, he said to James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their nets. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. See, Dad, this guy's got something that's powerful. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue. He began to teach. The people were amazed because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the other teachers of the law. We've just been listening to Michael and Doug. Man, this guy's got it. He's different. When it comes to Jesus, listen, because he's different. And the words he has to say, I mean, we can say all kinds, whoever stands up here can say all kinds of wonderful things, but not like Jesus. The word of Jesus makes a difference. And then in chapter 2, verse 12, what we read, the end of it, we've never seen anything like this. You see, our faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. That's what Paul said when he wrote the church of Rome. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. A criminal was saved by the word of Christ. Do you know that? Do you remember that? If you don't know the story of Jesus hanging on the cross and a criminal on either side of him, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Sorry, bud. You blew it. And you should not even be here. You knew better than that. You knew better than to do what you did. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. You want to know the power of words? Jesus spoke, and a man dying on the cross goes to heaven. How cool is that? We can handle his words. That's what Matthew chapter 11 would say to us. He'd say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, he's not saying that you're just a bunch of oxen and you can handle the yoke around you. What he's saying is my words, my teaching. There were a lot of teachings that were going on. There were a lot of things that were happening, and a lot of rabbis would be teaching. And you could either accept it, take it, or not. And sometimes you couldn't handle the yoke. Sometimes you couldn't handle it. It was a burden. And so what Jesus says, the Jesus that has all power, what he says is, you can handle what I have to say to you. So we listen to him. And when he says, ask and seek and knock, we believe that he will answer and that we will find him and that he will open the door. And when he says, don't worry, those words come from the mouth of our Savior. We don't worry because we know that he's got everything and he knows everything that we need. And when he says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world, we listen to him and we understand that we have responsibility in this world. Jesus' words matter. And they're powerful in this passage. I believe one of the greatest parts of this miracle comes with Jesus' question. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Which is harder? I dare say forgiveness of sins is harder. Let me explain. A miracle. It seems easy. An And honestly, it is. When you see it in the Scripture. Jesus goes out to the disciples are out on the boat. He's been up quiet, having some quiet time. They're already out, so he just walks out on the water. Doesn't seem difficult. Come. Peter gets out of the boat and he walks. Doesn't seem difficult for God. Taking those five loaves and those two fish and feeding the multitude, it seems easy. I think if we understood the power that comes behind God, we would fall on our face daily in reverence to Him. You see, all these miracles are by the hand of God. He says, do this, do that, do that, do that. And He created the world, made everything in it. He made man and woman. He did it all. He did a better job with woman, but nah. Seems easy, right? Paul was very specific when he was talking about the relationships between fellow Christians. When he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is why. This is why I'm telling you to do this. I'm not just telling you this, because I want you to get along. Because who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now you tell me, saying get up your bed, take up your mat and walk, or being God, letting that go and becoming like us, and the scriptures there, morphe and scheme, both of those words are in that passage, the inside and out. You tell me which was more difficult for Jesus Christ. The sun, the Hebrew writer would say, is a radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being. What that is He is God. He's not a copy. He's not a carbon copy. He is God. Let me ask you, which is harder? Take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven? In the beginning, John would write, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. He was God. And let me ask you, which is easier? To say, get up, take your mat, and walk, or your sins are forgiven? I'm not sure we fully grasp what happens at the cross. I'm not sure that we fully understand what happened with Jesus at the cross. He went to God and He said, let this cup pass from me. I don't want it. And I don't think it's just the pain. I think that's part of it. But I don't think that's the biggest part. Three times He went, take this cup away from me. I don't want to go down this track. Not my will, but yours. Let me ask you, which is easier? To say, take your mat, get up, and walk. Your sins are forgiven. To walk how Jesus walked. To get beat how Jesus was beat. To have your back whipped with a cat of nine tails where your bones could be seen and your back looked like raw hamburger meat. Let me ask you, which is easier, get up and walk or your sins are forgiven? I think the struggle at the cross was greatest when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let me ask you, which is easier, for him to say, get up, take your mat and walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven? You can't buy love like that. You can't find order love off Amazon like that. Your family can't give you love like that. Your dog can't give you love like that. Your mother can't even give you love like Jesus gave at the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He did it because of us. And I think some of us need to hear that God loves us. I think some of you in this room need to know how difficult it was for Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and to come down to earth, to spread his arms, to be forsaken by God. I think some of us need to hear Jesus loves you this morning. I don't know where you're at in this world, but I know somebody who loves you greater than anybody in this world. You see, it was eternally difficult for Jesus to come to this world so that your sins could be forgiven. You can't earn yourself to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds to get to God. You can't walk straight enough, come to church well enough, write enough poems, sing enough songs. You can't do it. Jesus did it for you. God made him who had no sin to be sin so that we might become what? Good, decent church people? The righteousness of God. Someone needs to hear this morning how much you are loved by God. Let me ask you, which was easier for Jesus to say, get your mat, get up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? So here's two statements to take with you. I believe it's time for some of us to remove the roof. All right? I think there are some people in this world that need to see Jesus. And the only way they're getting to him is you. The only way they're going to see him is through your words, through your actions, through your invites to worship him, through your invites to say, listen, I need to tell you what God has done for me. It's time for some of us to quit being so lazy and start removing the roof and getting people to Jesus. Yeah, preacher, you don't understand. I'm busy all the time. Everybody was crowded around the house. You don't understand. I'm scared to talk to people about Jesus. They were even crowded at the door. You don't understand, preacher. I can't. And give me any excuse you got. They took no excuse. They climbed on top of a roof, ripped through a man's house, and got the guy to Jesus. And not only did he walk again, but he is in heaven today because of some people removed the roof. Who do you need to start removing a roof for? Who do you need to guide to Jesus? It's time to start removing the roof. Number two, it's time to pick up your mat. The guy didn't just lay there. The guy didn't just sit there and say, are you really sure, Jesus? All right, I'll get to that maybe tomorrow. I just want to lay here for a little longer. For some of us, it's time to get our mat and get up and walk. You're wallowing in the sin that you've been forgiven of, and you've done it for too long. Jesus has said, I have forgiven you. And maybe someone is in here, listen to me. I hate these moments sometimes because they're these little invitations that we do right before. So this is not an invitation, okay? So just hold on with me for a second. This is a non-invitation invitation. There's some of you that need to be healed from your sins. And Jesus is saying, I am here and I will forgive you. Someone in here needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait till you feel better about yourself. Because Jesus is ready today. The water is ready. I'm going to invite you to come up front if you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. If you have your sins washed away, to walk new in Him, it's time to remove the roof. And for some of us, it's time to get your mat and get up and walk. Where are you today? Let the Spirit stir you as we stand and sing this invitation song.